Allah has blessed us with this night of forgiveness. Allah has blessed us with this night of forgiveness. The night of forgiveness, Shab-e-Bara'at. The night of forgiveness, Shab-e-Bara'at.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم has said that a person who sends 1,000 times daily durood or salutations or salawat upon me, he will not die till he sees his place in Jannah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatam wa salaman alayka ya sayyidi ya rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya habiballah. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madni channel, Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, an auspicious night which is known as Shab-e-Bara'at is about to come. Therefore, Madani channel has planned a beautiful program, a beautiful silsila for you. As you can see, behind my back there are many graves and there are many people who are buried in these graves. Once they were living like me and you, doing their businesses, going to parties, weddings, sometimes even maybe to mosque, sometimes making ibadat, sometimes spending their times in carelessness. We don't know. But the time of death is confirmed. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ When their ajal comes, when their death comes, it does not move from its fixed time, not even a second. We don't know what is the condition in the graves. There could be punishment in some graves, and some people in the graves might be in comfort. Al-qabru rawdatum min riyad al-jannah aw hufratum min hufarin niran. That qabr could be a garden, a grave could be a garden from the gardens of paradise, or it could be a ditch from the ditches of hell. So we don't know what is the condition. Okay. But if person does the good deeds and he has done sadaqah jariya, continuous charity, he has left pious offsprings, children who were brought up by this person who is in the grave according to Islamic values, and they are living and they doing the good deeds, the parents are benefiting in the grave.
Subhanallah.
Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, this is the night in which angels are given the matters of every person who is on the ground.
Allah.
And there will be many who are going to die. And people are living happily, they're moving in the marketplaces, they're enjoying life, they are being entertained. But they don't know that during this year they are going to die. Next year, at the time of Laylatul Qadr, or the night of salvation, they would not be with us.
So there's a narration in Bunyanul Talibin that so many people are
heedlessly they're busy at the marketplaces, laughing, enjoying themselves, entertaining themselves, when their shrouds are already washed and ready. So many people are enjoying themselves, but their graves are already dug. We are standing here in this Qabristan, this cemetery, and it makes one think that when I visit the graveyard to convey Ishal-e Thawab to one of my family members who is buried there, how do I know that some of those graves which are dug, one of those is my name, is it in there? We do not know this here.
Look at this graveyard. These people are silent.
Allah.
There was time when they were discussing matters, debating issues, movement, going here, going there. Where are their brothers, their sisters, their relatives, their family members? They have forgotten them. When person dies, for few days, relatives, they come, they recite, they do Fatiha, they do Isale Sawab. Maybe they come daily in the beginning. But then it slows down. Then maybe they will come after a week, then maybe after a month, then maybe after 1 year.
Allah.
At the time of, as they call it, Barsi.
Yes.
Or the day that soul departed, and they do Isale Sawab and Fatiha. And then slowly everyone forgets them. People get busy with their own life, with their own children.
Yes, yes.
How nice if we can take a lesson. We can take an ibrat. That one day this will happen to us.
Absolutely.
And there will be no friend, no associate, no relative, no loved one who would come and share your pain in the grave. So why should we not do the preparation that our grave becomes garden from the gardens of paradise.
Ameen.
And a window is open from paradise, from Jannat. And beautiful, calming, peaceful fragrance comes from Jannatul Firdaus.
Inshallah.
And we are given the glad tidings and good news. Nam ka'arusatin, sleep Ameen. Like a bride.
Ameen.
And nobody will disturb you from your beauty sleep except your beloved Allah on the day of judgment. He will wake you up from your sleep and then the Hisab Kitab establishes. So he goes in the grave with that good news. How nice if we can be one of them.
Inshallah.
But to be one of them, of course, you need to do some work.
Allah.
You need to put effort. You need to remove heedlessness and carelessness and laziness.
And most people are caught up in this. How many people, they're busy building their houses, mansions, and it is reaching completion when their lifespan reaches completion. And Malakul Maut alayhi salam comes. Shaykh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnat Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah gives us a mindset that the graves, the deceased themselves are silent muballighin. They are sending a message. Although they can't talk, they can't speak, but they are sending a message to us that, dear brother, look at me, look at my condition, that I cannot speak now, I cannot do anything, my actions are cut off, and one day you also will be in this condition. Therefore, those who take a lesson from this, they are very fortunate, and those who do not, that is the terminator of all pleasures, whether we like it or not.
That is actually the sole reason to come and visit graveyards. There's a hadith-e mubarakah in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that I used to stop you from visiting graves.
Yes.
You should go and visit graves because this visitation of graves causes abstaining from dunya, from this world. And it reminds you of akhirah, of the hereafter. So that is actually the sole reason.
Yes.
We should come visit, but for what reason? And that is actually the reason to join Namaz-e-Janaza as well. So we can remember our death. We can realize that one day this will happen to us. And we can start worrying about our grave. And about hereafter, about the akhirah, etc. But unfortunately, the involvement in the dunya has become so powerful and has captured our hearts that even at these places, when we come, we don't take a lesson. Mm-hmm. People are in funerals, they're in janazas, but they're talking worldly issues. They're still conducting their businesses.
Allah.
I mean, these days, mobile phones are very common. And people do business on mobile phone. They close deals. Mm-hmm. And that's happening in the masajid. It's happening in the graveyards.
Allah.
It is happening while you are attending a funeral. So the purpose for which you were motivated to join janazah, to come to Kabristan, and that was to disassociate yourself from worldly business and worldly activities.
Allah.
But that's not happening. People are at funerals, they're standing in groups here and there. They're talking politics, they're talking business, they're talking anything. They're cracking jokes, they're laughing, they're making other people laugh.
Astaghfirullah.
So that sadness which should have appeared at the time of death is not observed anymore. It doesn't come up anymore. It's absent, it's gone, it disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we are in this glorious month of Sha'ban al-Mu'azzam, which is the 8th month of the Islamic Hijri calendar, the lunar calendar. And it falls between the very blessed months of Rajab al-Murajab and Ramadan al-Mubarak. And also Allah Azza wa Jal has included a very special night in this blessed month of Sha'ban al-Mu'azzam. The month itself is blessed, but also a blessed night is found herein as well. And this is none other than the 15th night of Sha'ban al-Mu'azzam, called Shabi Barat or Laylatul Bara'a, the night of salvation. For what reason it is called the night of salvation? In this night, Allah Azza wa Jal forgives many, many hundreds of thousands or even millions of Muslims. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. A very special night, a very special occasion as well. Our beloved Master, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam stated in this blessed summary of hadith that people are not aware of the excellence of this blessed month of Sha'ban al-Mu'azzam. This month comes between Rajab and Ramadan, and in this month the actions of people are presented in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. I wish that my actions are presented whilst I am in a state of fasting. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Mufti Sahib, how critical is this? That this blessed night especially, so many things are taking place that our actions, our deeds are present in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah Azza wa Jal forgives so many people, so many Muslims. But how many people are aware of this, of the significance of this blessed night of Sha'ban al-Mu'azzam, Laylatul Bara'ah?
As you said, that the 15th night of Sha'ban is known as Shab-e Bara'at, which is next to Laylatul Qadr in auspiciousness, in greatness. And its Arabic name is Laylatu Nisfi Sha'bana. So, 15th night of Sha'ban. But in Persian and in Urdu, this night is called Shab-e Bara'at.
Okay.
Bara'at means salvation, or it means freedom from the punishment, from the azab. The people are set free from the azab, from the punishment, from the hellfire. For that reason, this night is called Shab-e Bara'at.
So the month itself, Sha'ban, is there any meaning to this night, and why is it called the month of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
Well, there's a beautiful meaning that is explained by Hazur Sayyidina Ghawth al-Azam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu in Ghuniyatul Talibin. He says that there are five Arabic letters in the word Sha'ban. Sheen, Ayn, Ba, Alif and Noon.
Yes.
And Sheen stands for Sharaf. And that is nobility. Ayn stands for uluv. That is ascension. And ba stands for bir. That is kindness, goodness.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And alif stands for ulfat, which means affection. And noon stands for noor, which is light.
Subhanallah.
So these are the virtues with which Allah Azza wa Jal bestows His servants in this blessed month. So that explains the deeper meaning of the word Shaban. And as far as your other question is concerned, why this month is called the month of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Actually, there is a hadith mubarakah in Al-Jami' al-Saghir. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the holy month of Shaban is my month. And Ramadan is the month of Almighty Allah Azza wa
Jalla.
So because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that this is my month, he says that this is my month because his ummah is forgiven in this month, in this night of bara'at, salvation, in very large quantity. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very happy because he loves his ummah to be forgiven at every occasion when he is bestowed with any bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he is favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he always thinks of his ummah. So, therefore, he calls this month as my month because my sinful ummatis are forgiven in this month.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Muntisab, another point comes in mind that we are talking about the special night, the 15th of Sha'banul Mu'azzam, Laylatul Bara'a, Shabi Barat. That people generally feel there are only two Eids, there are only two festivities or days or festivals that we celebrate in Islam. Therefore, what authenticity is there to celebrate or commemorate Laylatul Bara'a, Shabi Barat? And some even say there's no proof to celebrate this night. Is it written anywhere in the glorious Quran or the blessed Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the authenticity of celebrating this night, the 15th of Sha'ban?
Yes, there are many ahadith. Amir Ahl-e-Sunnat, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Qudsiyah, have quoted several ahadith in his booklet called Aqa Ka Mahina, the month of beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I will read out few ahadith from that booklet. Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha has reported that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jibreel Amin alayhi salam came to me and said, this is the 15th night of Shaban. Allah Azza wa Jal frees as many people from the hell as the number of the hair on the goats of the tribe of Kalb.
Allah.
But He Azza wa Jal does not cast merciful sight at infidels, malicious people, and there are several other categories I mentioned. But the fact that is proven from this hadith mubarakah that this night is very great. Because in this night, people equal to the hair on the goats of tribe of Bani Kalb are forgiven. And Bani Kalb was the tribe who used to farm goats and sheep in very large number. So they had the maximum goats in Arabia, amongst the tribes of Arabia. Therefore, the example of that tribe was given. And can one count the hair
impossible
on the body of a single goat?
Impossible.
And if there were thousands of goats,
Allah,
there are billions and billions of hair.
Subhanallah.
So there is no estimation. We cannot even count.
Look at the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal.
And that when happens that? That happens on the 15th night of Shaban.
Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah.
So therefore, there is a reason for every Muslim to celebrate.
Yes.
And to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this great night.
Alhamdulillah.
And this hadith mubarakah is in Shu'ab al-Iman by Imam Bahiqi radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Alhamdulillah. So Musab, this is actually Allah Azza wa Jal, out of His kindness, His mercy, is arranging this kind of opportunity for believers, for Muslims, to turn towards Him and to ask His forgiveness so they may be forgiven. Allah Azza wa Jal is creating these opportunities for us.
Yes, definitely. And then there's another beautiful hadith, which is in Sunan Ibn Majah. Sunan Ibn Majah is from Siyah Sittah.
Subhanallah.
How can someone say that there is no trace for this night?
We are talking about authentic references.
Definitely. It's in Sunan Ibn Majah, page number 160, volume 2, hadith number 1388.
Subhanallah.
So anyone has a doubt, can go and check the reference. Sayyiduna Ali al-Murtaza Shere Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, when the 15th night of Shaban comes, do qiyam. It means stand up for worship in the night and observe fast in the day. No doubt, Allah Azza wa Jal reveals special divine manifestation on the sky above the earth from the time of sunset and announces, is there anyone seeking forgiveness so that I may forgive him? Is there anyone seeking sustenance so that I may grant him sustenance? Is there anyone afflicted so that I may relieve his affliction?
Alhamdulillah.
Is there so and so and so and so?
Subhanallah.
He, Azza wa Jalla, keeps announcing until the time of Fajr. Now this hadith mubarakah makes very clear that 15th night of Shaban is very auspicious, is very great. It's a night to be celebrated. And then also, the mention is made very clearly that make qiyam during the night, spend the night in ibadat, in the masajid, go to graveyard, as in one of the hadith. Also mentioned that Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says that one night I did not find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on my bed, and I followed him and I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in graveyard, and that was the 15th night of Shaban.
Allah.
So it is proven that from the practice of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go and visit graveyard in the night, in the night of 15th of Shaban.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
And that is proven, and then to fast on the 15th is proven from this hadith mubarak. So if anyone has a problem, that way is it mentioned, why are you fasting, why are you giving so much importance to this day or to this night, then we have quoted the reference. This is the hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you are a believer, then of course you will take it, you will accept it, and you will practice upon it, and you will not raise any question and any objection on that issue.
Alhamdulillah. So another point is, from what exact time is the acceptance of du'as, that takes place? From what time exactly?
Actually, from the very same hadith of Hazrat Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza Shaykh Khuda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we learn that from the sunset till Fajr, mean till dawn, the whole night.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
But people should go before the sunset, because the time between Asr and Maghrib, now the day is going, the night is coming. That's the time the old books of deeds are going to be closed and new ones will be opened up.
Allah Akbar.
So if you are sitting in the masjid with the niyat of itikaf, when you are book of deeds is being closed, it closes on that note that so and so was in itikaf in the masjid at that time.
Subhanallah.
And then the new one opens. So he is still in the masjid.
Alhamdulillah.
He is with the niyat of itikaf. So new one begins with that note that the first action he performed in the new book, that was ibadat, and he was sitting in the masjid with the niyat of itikaf. That's why Dawat Islami encourages And it has been announced that programs at Faizan-e-Madina will start from Zuhr Salat.
Alhamdulillah.
So people can start coming and joining. So they in Itikaf, there will be Naat Sharif, there will be lectures, there will be bayans, there will be beautiful advices, and neki ki dawat, and many activities and halkas, etc. So you are spending your time in ibadat, learning deen, you in the masjid, you make niyat of itikaf. So, of course, at Faizan-e-Madina, it is possible, it's manageable, but in places and countries where it is not possible to start from Zuhr Salat,
yes,
at least they should start from Asr Salat.
Ji.
So when their book of deed is closing, and people should also fast the 14th and the 15th.
Ji.
They should keep actually Ayyam-e-Bid. That is 13th, 14th and 15th.
Isn't this Sunnah, Musa?
That's also Sunnah.
Ji.
But then on the 14th, when the book is closing,
Ji.
You are in the state of Saum. You are in the state of fasting.
Ji.
As it is mentioned, you have read out that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the books of deeds are closed and new one are open up. And I would like that when my book of deeds is closed, I'm fasting.
Subhanallah.
So it's a wonderful message that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given to the ummah.
Alhamdulillah.
Why should we not practice that? Why that part is forgotten? Okay, during the night people come, they take part in Nawafil, they take part in Salatul Tasbih, they take part in many other ibadah. But look at the amal, look at the action, the deed of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that and the wisdom behind it, so beautiful.
Alhamdulillah.
That when my book of deed is closing, I must be in the state of fasting.
Alhamdulillah.
So we can also do that. We can also practice that beautiful sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Therefore, Mufti Sahib, we should try and keep these fasts of the 13th, 14th, 15th every month, and especially here, because alhamdulillah, as Mufti Sahib had mentioned, old books are being closed and stored away until Judgment Day, and the new books are being opened. How fortunate are those people who practice upon these wise words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Furthermore, Mufti Sahib, this is a very critical night because, as mentioned, new books are being opened. We want to open on a good note, on a note where there are praiseworthy actions. Furthermore, angels who are in charge of different duties, Allah Azza wa Jal informs them about those who will be born in this coming year, those who will die in this coming year, those who will perform Hajj in this coming year.
So and their risk and sustenance,
yes, yes,
and everything for that year.
So important things are being discussed,
yes,
or being mentioned here. Therefore, should we not sacrifice some time for ibadat, for worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla, dhikrullah, tilawat, salawat, durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of just sleeping the entire night? We should sacrifice some time, inshallah.
See, unfortunately, some people who are Muslims, born in Muslim families, but so unaware of these events and these auspicious nights and days and moments, people sometimes, you know, they even spend these types of great nights in watching movies,
Allah,
dramas,
A'udhu billahi,
you know, playing with friends, just sleeping, not caring, not going to masjid, no ibadat.
Allah.
There's a quantity of people who are like this. So if any of those people are watching Madani channel, or coincidentally they have switched on to Madani channel, I hope and I wish,
inshallah,
that they get this message, that as a Muslim, we need to fold our sleeves,
yes,
and tighten our backs,
yes,
and make sure that mentally, spiritually, bodily, physically, we are ready for
inshallah
the ibadat Azza of Wajal. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And inshallah, one will get such motivation that even in normal days, person would continue making ibadat, performing namaz, etc. It's very important that we should, you know, come out of the cave and join the Muslim congregations and enjoy that beautiful blessing that is being showered upon everyone in that night.
Who doesn't desire forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jalla? We know ourselves what sins we commit, the open sins, the hidden sins. We know these things here. We are confirmed sinners. This is guaranteed. Therefore, any sane Muslim will acknowledge that the desire to seek the forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is providing this opportunity for us. Who knows whether we will be alive the next year for the next 15th of Sha'aban or the next day, the next moment, we do not know. If we are alive, our heart is pumping, we are alive, we are breathing. This is opportunity we have here and now. Allah Azza wa Jalla desires obedience from us. Allah Azza wa Jalla is most caring, most affectionate, most merciful. Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to forgive us. Therefore, Allah Azza wa Jalla has created these kind of opportunities. If we can say spiritual opportunities or spiritual investments for our betterment in the Qabr and the Akhirah. It is recorded, or the glorious Quran has stated in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 222, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. That indeed, certainly, Allah Azza wa Jalla loves those who constantly make tawbah and repent, and those who are purified. Therefore, Allah loves us to make tawbah and to repent in His court. We have to put the first step forward. And as Mufti Sahib said, come out of the cave. Stop being in that cave, watching TV, media, politics, these kind of things. Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to turn towards Him. Therefore, we should do this, especially in a night like this.
And those who are habitual with sins and wrongdoings, there's a serious warning for them. It is mentioned in Haditha Mubarakah that all sinners are forgiven in this great night, in this auspicious night, except few. And who are those? An alcoholic, a person who is habitual with drinking liquor. Number two, the one who is disobedient to parents, which is of course very common in these days. Number three, habitual of fornication or adultery. Number four, the one who cuts off family ties. On small issues, little things, little misunderstanding, brothers doesn't speak to brother, you know, sister doesn't speak to sister, children don't speak to parents, parents don't speak to children. That's so common. And they are deprived from this common forgiveness on this auspicious night because of that character.
If a person is indulged in these kind of sins, is there any way out that he can get some of that forgiveness?
Yes, tawbah. Tawbah is the way out. If, for example, person is alcoholic or is disobedient to parents or is habitual adulterer or he cuts off ties with the family or the one who makes pictures, the one who tells tales, no, chughli, as we say in Urdu. These are six categories. It doesn't mean that the doors of forgiveness or repentance are shut upon them. The doors are open.
Alhamdulillah.
So they need to leave that habit. They need to throw those evil habits away and free themselves from those bad habits and bad characteristics and make sincere tawbah, then inshallah Azza wa Jal, they can also be forgiven.
Ameen.
So this hadith means that while they're doing that, while they're maintaining these bad habits and these characteristics, there's no forgiveness for them. Yes, of course, if they give up these bad habits and they divorce these bad habits, and they free themselves from these characteristics, then inshallah Azza wa Jal, their tawbah will also be accepted.
Alhamdulillah. Therefore, I must acknowledge my sin, whatever evil deed I am doing, I must acknowledge it. I must have extreme regret and remorse for having done those evil sins. And I must turn in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, cry, weep in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, ask for His forgiveness, and make a firm intention to never commit this again. Inshallah.
Actually, that is tawbah. Tawbah is not about, you know, just sorry, I'm sorry. Or as Amir al-Sunnah most of the time gives this example that, you know, they're just catching their ears or slapping at their cheeks, you know, like this. That's not tawbah. Tawbah is actually you feel embarrassed for what you have done. That's nadamat, embarrassment. And then you seek forgiveness, you repent and make a solid promise.
I mean,
where there is no doubt in your mind.
Yes.
Solid promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah azza wa jal, I will never repeat this.
Inshallah.
At the time of Tawbah, it was in your intention that I am totally disassociating from this sin.
Yes.
But if it is in the mind, you know, let me make Tawbah, but we'll see what happens. When the time comes, I'll decide.
This is not
a Tawbah. So, one should make sincere Tawbah. With his heart, he must, you know, as I said, divorce. Now, divorce is when you break tie. So, break tie completely from the wrongdoings and repent. And then, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, Allah is merciful. He loves to forgive. So, He will forgive.
Inshallah. There's a beautiful narration, Sayyidina Ali Karamullah Ta'ala Wajhul Kareem. He would often come outside on this blessed night of the 15th of Sha'ban al-Mu'adham, Laylatul Bara, Shabi Barat. And once he said that, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, once on the 15th of Sha'ban, the great Prophet of Allah, Nabi Dawood, ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu salam, raised his gaze towards the skies and said, this is the time when whoever supplicates and make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal for anything, Allah Azza wa Jal will fulfill that supplication of his. Subhanallah. And whoever asks for forgiveness, Allah Azza wa Jal will grant him forgiveness, unless he is a person who unjustly demands tax money from somebody, a magician, a soothsayer, a fortune teller, a player of music. These kind of people are not included in the forgiveness of that dua. Furthermore, he would make the following dua. Allahumma رب داوود اغفر لمن دعاك في هذه الليلة أو استغفرك فيها. That, O Allah Azza wa Jal, O the Rabb of Dawood alayhi salam, whoever asks prayer to you in this night or seeks your forgiveness, forgive him. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. This is a beautiful dua of Nabi Dawood alayhi salam. We should try and practice upon this as well.
Subhanallah
ta'ala. Therefore, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, our discussion up to now about the benefits of doing ibadat on this night, and the preparation one should do, that we should try and be in the masjid before the Maghrib Salah or the sunset of that 14th in order to achieve the benefit that are therein. Mufti Sahab, if one wants to do extra ibadat or specific ibadat in this blessed night to gain maximum rewards, what ibadat can he do?
Offer specific 6 rakat of nafil.
Yes.
After the fard and sunnah of Salatul Maghrib is one of the traditions of pious people, awliya Allah.
Okay.
After offering the fard and sunan, etc., offer 6 rakat of nafil in sets of 2.
Okay.
Before offering first 2 rakat, make the intention, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, by the virtue of these 2 rakat, grant me long life with well-being. Similarly, before offering the second 2 rakats, make the intention, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, by the virtue of these 2 rakats, protect me from calamities.
Ameen.
Before offering the last 2 rakats, make the intention, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, by the virtue of these 2 rakats, do not make me dependent upon anyone except you.
Subhanallah.
After every 2 rakat, recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, which is Qul Huwallahu Ahad, 21 times, or Surah Yasin once. So you have a choice. If possible, recite both. And after Surah Yasin, recite dua of mid Shaban as well. So that is a special prayer. So this is that special and specific ibadat that one should perform.
What beautiful intentions as well.
Yes, of course, these are beautiful intentions. And this is the experience of pious people. And this is their spiritual experience. Okay. That they see that benefit. Mm-hmm. They observe that benefit.
Ji.
Therefore, they have advised
Ji.
To the Muslim masses.
Ji.
So they can also attain that benefit and that barakah.
Alhamdulillah.
And that dua which I've mentioned, let me read out the dua.
Yeah.
And we'll ask you to translate
Inshallah.
That for me.
Inshallah.
Dua-e nisfe Shabanul Muazzam. Allahumma ya dhal manni wa la yumannu alayh ya dhal jalali wal ikram ya dhal tuli wal in'am la ilaha illa anta zahrul lajin wa jarul mustajirin wa amanul khaifin. اللهم إن كنت كتبتني عندك في أم الكتاب شقيا أو محروما أو مطرودا أو مقترا علي في الرزق فامحو اللهم بفضلك شقاوتي وحرماني وتردي وقت تار رزقي وأثبتني عندك في أم الكتاب سعيدا مرزوقا موفقا للخيرات فإنك قلت وقولك الحق في كتابك المنزل على لسان نبيك المرسل يمحو الله ما يشاء ويثبت وعنده أم الكتاب إلهي بالتجلي الأعظم في ليلة النصف من شهر شعبان المكرم التي يفرق فيها كل أمر حكيم ويبرم أن تكشف عنا من البلاء والبلواء ما نعلم وما لا نعلم وأنت به أعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين.
سبحان الله ما شاء الله. And the translation of this beautiful dua, let us concentrate on its words. A very beautiful, very thought-provoking as well. Translation. O Allah Azza wa Jal, O the one who does favor to everyone, but no one can do any favor to you. O the one bearing high majesty and grandeur. O the one who bestows bounty and rewards. There is none worthy of worship except you. You have the troubled, provide refuge to those who seek refuge, and give peace to those who are in fear. O Allah Azza wa Jal, in the primary book, the Lohe Mahfooz, the protected tablet that is with you. If you have written my name among the unfortunate ones, the deprived ones, the rejected ones, or one who is lacking sustenance, then O Allah Azza wa Jal, with your grace, remove my misfortune, my deprivation, my disgrace and lack of sustenance. Write my name amongst those who are blessed with good fortune, increased sustenance, and the ability to perform good deeds in the primary book. Indeed, you have truly mentioned in your own descended book, the glorious Quran, as uttered by your beloved Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Allah Azza wa Jal erases and confirms whatever He wills, and only with Him is the real script. O my Rabb Azza wa Jal, by virtue of divine manifestation that lies in the 15th night of Sha'banul Mu'azzam, in which every prudent task is assigned and is made irrevocable, remove from us all calamities and discords, those that we know about, as well as those that we do not know about, while you know everything the most. Truly, you are the most powerful, the most reverent. And may Allah Azza wa Jal send blessings and salutation on Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and on his holy family and his companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. And all praise is for Allah, the sustainer of the worlds. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, a very powerful and beautiful dua, meaning
indeed,
as well. Alhamdulillah. Mufti Sahib, a question comes in mind. Mufti Sahib had mentioned that our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah ta'ala, You used to practice upon these six nawafil on this blessed night. Now, is this a good enough reason for us to practice upon this? Because it's not mentioned in the Quran, the Hadith by the four A'imma, our pious predecessors, they mentioned it. Is this good enough a reason for us to practice?
Well, first of all, you don't need a specific proof for nafil. Nafil is mustahab, it's recommended.
Yes.
And whether there is any categorical proof, mm-hmm. there is no proof.
Yes.
As far as the validity of nafil is concerned,
Ji.
There should not be any question.
Okay.
Secondly, pious elders, Buzurgan-e-Deen, Salihin,
Ji.
Whose path we follow, and we make dua in Surah Fatiha 5 times a day.
Ji.
Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. Make us walk on that path
Ji.
Upon whom you have favored.
And who are they?
And they are awliya Allah.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah.
So it's good enough for us to follow their path. The Salihin are mentioned. Salihin are Buzurgan-e-Deen, awliya Allah.
Subhanallah.
So their path is guaranteed
Ji.
As to be the correct path.
Alhamdulillah.
So this is the way and the practice of Salihin, awliya Allah. And secondly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, مَا رَآهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَسَنًا فَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ حَسَنٌ. That whatever is seen as good by the believers, and here the majority of believers is meant, then that is good by Almighty Allah as well. So, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, the majority of the believers, they follow awliya Allah, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Alhamdulillah.
They follow their ways.
Ji.
So therefore, if not directly,
Ji.
Then at least indirectly,
Ji.
It is proven that this practice is hasan.
Alhamdulillah.
This practice is good. This practice is commendable. And we should do that.
Alhamdulillah.
And the pious elders have seen those benefits. And that is the habit of pious people.
Ji.
When they find benefit in any type of ibadat, in any wazifa, in recitation of any particular ayat,
Ji.
They advise.
Alhamdulillah.
As, well-wishers of Ji. The community,
Ji.
Well-wishers of the ummah. They advise Ji. That, so if I have seen that benefit and attained that benefit,
Ji. Ji.
So others can also take that benefit.
Ji.
So it's wonderful. And as far as your second Ji. Question is concerned,
Mr. Before we get to the second question, if I may add, our master Imam Ahlus Sunnah Ala Hazrat Imam Muhammad Reza Khan rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, in a letter regarding the 14th, the 15th of Sha'ban al-Mu'adham, he says that we should prepare actually from the 14th, from before this
yes.
night, in preparation for it. And also he advises that those who have broken off relationships with family members especially, we should go to each other and mend these relationships.
That's a wonderful letter actually. And it would be nice if you can read out that letter.
Ji, inshallah.
And let everyone benefit from the message of our leader, our Imam, Imam Ahl Sunnat, Sayyidi Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Ala Hazrat, radiyallahu ta'ala.
Should I read it now?
Please read it.
Jazakumullah khair. Our Imam Ahl Sunnat, the Mujaddid of the Ummah, علامة مولانا الحاج الحافظ القاري الشيخ إمام أحمد رزا خان عليه رحمة الرحمن wrote this letter actually to one of his disciples, one of his murids, emphasizing on repentance and tawbah before the onset of Shabi Barat. And he says that Shabi Barat is about to come. On this night, the deeds of all servants are presented in the exalted court of Allah Azza wa Jal. For the sake of the most dignified Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Allah Azza wa Jal forgives the sins of the Muslims except of a few. Among these are those two Muslims who bear mutual hostility for some worldly reasons. Allah Azza wa Jal says, leave them as they are until they mend their relations. The Ahlul Sunnah should end their discords and mend relationships before the sunset of the 14th of Sha'ban. Fulfill the rights of others. Waiver whatever is due to you. So you are presented in his court, Azza wa Jal, devoid of the rights of others. Regarding the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, mere sincere repentance is enough. It is mentioned in a blessed hadith, At-ta'ibu min al-dhambi kamal la dhambala, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. Whoever repents of his sin, it is as if he did not commit that sin at all. Subhanallah. If one abides as advised by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, there is a strong hope of forgiveness in this night, provided his beliefs are perfect. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ Allah Azza wa Jal, He forgives sins and grants mercy. This practice of bringing brothers in Islam close to settle their discords and fulfill the rights of each other is being in effect since a long time. Hopefully, you will inculcate this good practice amongst the Muslims of your environment, of your area, to become deserving of the reward mentioned in the following narration. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, مَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً فَلَهُ أَجْرُهَا وَأَجْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا يَنْقُسُ مِنْ أُجُورِهِمْ شَيْءٌ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ سُلَاتُ وَالسَّلَامِ That he who initiates a virtuous tradition in Islam, there is reward of it for him, and also the reward of all those acting upon it will be written continually in his account of deeds until the day of judgment, without any decrease in the rewards of those acting upon it. Subhanallah. Al-Hazrat further says that, pray for this faqir, this servant of Allah Azza wa Jal, referring to himself humbly, to be blessed with absolution, with forgiveness and peace in the world and in the hereafter. I will remember you in supplications and will keep doing so inshallah Azza wa Jal. It should be made clear to all the Muslims that concord and pardon, all should be made from the core and the sincerity of the heart. Neither mere utterance by tongue is sufficient and nor lip service is liked in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Wassalam, Faqir Ahmad Raza Qadri from Bareilly Sharif. Subhanallah.
That's a wonderful letter.
Alhamdulillah.
Now, Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala wrote this letter
Ji.
To one of his students, to one of his murids,
Ji.
Educating them, informing them about the importance of this night.
Alhamdulillah.
And look at the emphasis which Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala has put in this letter.
Ji.
And that is lot about Huquq al-Ibad.
Alhamdulillah, Allah Allah.
We have discussed early on
Ji.
Those who cut ties with family.
Yes, yes.
Now that's a big problem. People get angry with each other for silly reasons. And then they keep that animosity grudge in their hearts.
Allah.
For a long, long time. And they make ghibat. They think bad about that person, they talk ill about that person.
Ji, ji.
I mean, so many major sins they commit. And somehow they feel they're justifying what they're doing.
Allah Allah.
So Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu in this letter
ji.
Has given a very clear and loud message
ji.
To everyone
ji.
That this is the night. Go and ask forgiveness.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah.
With your friends, associates, you know, relatives, family members, whoever comes in touch with you, talks to you, sits with you, spends time with you, your colleagues,
Ji-ji.
You might have violated their rights.
Yes, yes.
You might have hurt them.
Ji.
Some way maybe you don't know.
Yes.
Your certain move, you know, a certain gesture could also be painful for them.
Ji.
And you think that you have not harmed anybody at any time.
Ji.
So it's actually good for everyone, for all of us, that we should seek forgiveness
Ji.
With the sincerity of our heart. Ji. As Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala says in that letter,
Ji.
Lip service means nothing.
Allah Allah.
You know, you just say with the tongue, I'm sorry, please forgive me.
Ji.
But in the heart, you still have that grudge. You still hate that person. You hate his living guts. You don't have respect for that person. Where is ihtiram-e-Muslim? Where is the respect of a Muslim?
Yes.
I mean, it's a good enough reason for you to respect him that he got iman in his heart.
Allah.
He got the tasdeeq, the attestification of Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his heart. That is enough reason to respect him. And why we have become so selfish that we can't bear small issues, small matters, and we explode ourselves and show our reality. Because when you're angry, you know, your nobility, your being polite, being nice, is exposed, which you were maybe pretending to be all the time. That's why Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that don't judge a person as to be good or bad until unless you see him when he's angry.
Allah, Allah.
Because that's the time he's going to show his reality. And we have seen people, you know, they could be looking very nice, noble, polite, everything wonderful. But when they get angry, then the bullets of abuses and swearings come out from their mouths. I say bullets because they hurt. They hurt worse than bullets. And they out of control, as if they want to go out of their clothes. You can see the foam starts coming from their mouths. That's the condition that people go through. So it is very important that we must learn how to forgive. We must learn how to bear. You know, when something happens, make sabr.
Tolerance.
It would give you the great benefit in the hereafter. Sooner or later, everybody is going to die. We are standing here in the graveyard. There are thousands of people buried here. If some amongst them was very angry, intolerant, impatient, he also died.
Allah.
And if some amongst them were tolerant and patient, and knew how to face difficulties and calamities, and do justice, they have also died and passed away, and they are also buried here. This life is very short. People die every day. They die in road accidents, you know, robberies, bomb blasts. There are so many diseases, sicknesses, blood pressure, sugar, cancer, heart attacks. People are dying. Young men are dying. Young women are dying. Children are dying. So, it is lesson for us. Why we have decided to come in the graveyard to do this program?
Allah.
So we can show the world, we can show the Muslim community, wake up. This is our reality.
Allah.
These graves.
Allah.
End of the day, everybody has to leave this world.
Absolutely.
So if we are impatient, intolerant, fighting with everyone, showing our muscles, showing our power, and making people scared, threatening them, the revenge will be taken.
Absolutely.
So then the revenge that would be taken, maybe you can make people scared in this dunya because of your power, your money, your force, your gangsterism, or whatever name you want to give. But there will be revenge. And on that day, none of your gangster friends will come and help you. That day you have to pay. So fear for that day. Everybody has to face for that.
Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Mufti Sahib had mentioned a beautiful hadith in the beginning of the silsila regarding this 15th of Sha'ban, where Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, our beloved mother, she did not find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with her. So she went in search for him and found him at the blessed cemetery of Jannatul Baqi. Mufti Sahib, for the benefit of the viewers of Madani Channel, the listeners of Madani Channel, what reference is this hadith in?
Well, let me read the full hadith and then inshallah we'll give reference as well.
Okay.
The mother of the believers, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, has reported, I missed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one night and later found him in the cemetery of Al-Baqi. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, were you afraid that Allah Azza wa Jal and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would deprive you of your right?
Allah Allah.
I said, Ya Rasulullah, I thought that you might have gone to visit one of your blessed wives.
Allah.
He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah Azza wa Jal, the glorious and exalted,
Ji.
Shows divine manifestation on the sky above the earth
Ji.
In the 15th night of Shaban.
Allah. Subhanallah.
And He Azza wa Jal forgives sinners greater in number than the number of hair on the goats of the tribe of Kalb.
Subhanallah.
So this hadith is in Tirmizi Sharif, page 183, volume 2,
Ji.
Hadith number 739.
Alhamdulillah.
So alhamdulillah, there is a proper reference of Ji. That hadith.
Alhamdulillah.
And Tirmizi Sharif is also from Siyah Sitta.
Alhamdulillah.
Very authentic book.
Ji.
And 15th Shaban is mentioned very clearly.
Ji.
So this shows the auspiciousness and the greatness and the blessfulness of this night. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal.
Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, our Amirul Mu'mineen, Commander of the Believers, the third Khalifa of Islam of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani, Sayyidina Uthman Dhun-Nurayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Whenever he would come by a grave, he would weep so profusely that his blessed beard would get soaked with his tears. And when he was questioned, why does he do this? What is the wisdom in this? He had replied in the summary of the narration that this grave is the first level to the Akhirah. The first stage towards the Akhirah is in the Qabr, in the grave. Therefore, we as well, we should realize that what is our end? Our end is to be laid down into that lonely, dark grave. Our Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir al-Sunnah, Daun Barakatuhum al-Aliyah, has given us many Madani pearls and pieces of advice regarding when a person visits the cemetery, the Qabristan. And maybe we can share a few of these, inshallah ta'ala.
Before you share those Madani pearls, I would like to add to the discussion
Indeed.
That you mentioned about Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and when he would come to graveyard and see a grave and he would cry. That is actually the fear.
Allah Allah.
I mean, we don't know what would be our condition
Allah.
When we die and we are put in the grave.
Ji.
We know that there would be insects.
Ji.
There would be scorpions.
Allah Allah.
There would be snakes. And the qabr will press you that your ribs from
Allah Allah.
Right to left, left to right would
Allah
be
saves.
Interlocked.
Allah.
And how can we bear that pain? How can we bear that azab, that punishment? We got no guarantee.
Ji.
Yes, we know that qabr would be garden from the gardens of paradise and qabr would be a ditch from the ditches of hell. We know that.
Ji.
We have got no guarantee.
Ji.
What would be our condition in the grave? Whether we will be forgiven
Allah.
Or not. Qabr is the first step for the journey of Akhirah. If one becomes successful here,
Ji.
He will always be successful.
Inshallah.
And if one failed
Allah Allah.
In the test of the qabr, then it's very difficult. then we don't know what's going to happen to that person. So look at Amir-e Ahle Sunnah. I mean, people might not understand this exercise. Some people might even take it as a joke. When a munajat is being recited, when the condition of qabr is being described,
Allah.
And we have seen Amir-e Ahle Sunnah crying like a baby.
Allah.
Sometimes you feel that, you know, he has lost his consciousness. And he is in that special spiritual ecstasy which is caused to pious people because of the fear of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. We observed that, we seen that.
Subhanallah.
And so this is nothing new. You just now mentioned the incident of Hazrat Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala.
And he was Ashra Mubashara.
Yes. And he was qat'i jannati. Allah. He was categorical jannati.
Subhanallah.
But still they had such fear of the journey of grave. Because you're all alone. Your comfortable beds are not there. Your luxury rooms are not there. Your air condition is not there in the grave. You're all alone in the grave. When you are thirsty and you ask, there are servants, there are family members, there are children. They will run with cold water or cold drinks or other juices to make you comfortable. And your pillow, you don't have it. People will bring pillow for you. They want you to sleep peacefully. Now in the grave, who will give you the pillow? When you are thirsty, who will bring a glass of water for you? Here in the dunya, if 1 minute, 20 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour, electricity is gone, and your air condition is off, and your fans are not working, you start boiling, perspiring, you're angry, you start swearing, you're upset, you're in a bad mood. Where will you get a fan in the grave?
Allah.
Where will you get an air condition in the grave? You are in habit of being in the company of so many friends, like sitting, talking, spending time. When in the grave, you're all alone. Even your loved ones, your children, your wife, nobody will give you company in the grave. So it is time that we should realize the reality, realize the truth, and accept the truth, and stand with the truth. Truth is that we are here for a few days for the preparation of Akhirah. The seed you are going to sow here, your crop would be ready, and you will cut your crop in the Akhirah. You sow the seed of bad doings, wrongdoings, sins, disbeliefs, hurting people, violating the rights of people, hukukul ibad, hukukullah, hukukul sharia, then that's the seed that you have put here in the dunya. You cannot expect a crop of, you know, beautiful rewards.
Absolutely.
So this night reminds us. This night opens our eyes, removes curtains of heedlessness and carelessness from our eyes. So we can wake up and start doing something for ourselves.
Inshallah.
People have been doing for their families, for their children, so much so that they even take briberies, earn haram to make their family comfortable, to send their children into good schools, to have good medical care for them, to fulfill the needs and the desires of their wives. So where are they? Here, everybody in the grave is all alone. So for whose sake you have eaten haram and now you are suffering in the grave, they are not there to help you. They have forgotten you.
Allah.
They will not even read Fatiha for you. You are a history, not just a history, forgotten history. So this is something that we have to take note of.
Inshallah.
Yes, you were saying, you know, some of the Madani Pulse that you wanted to...
Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir Ahl Sunnah Dawud Barakatum al-Aliyah has given many beautiful Madani Pulse. If one intends to visit a believer's grave, a Muslim's grave, then it is mustahab for that person to first offer 2 rakat of salah, but be careful that it is not a makruh time. He should offer these 2 rakat salah at his home, reciting Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, one time, and Suratul Ikhlas, Qul huwa Allahu ahad, 3 times after Suratul Fatiha, in each rakat, and donate or transfer its thawab and its rewards to their sahib al-qabr, the person who is buried there. Allah Azza wa Jal will produce nur, will produce light in the grave of that deceased person and will reward this person who donated that thawab in abundance. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, Subhanallah. Furthermore, when we are at the graveyard, when we are at the Mazar Sharif, the blessed tomb of a waliullah, a saint of Allah Azza wa Jal, we must not engage in futile talks, in unnecessary conversations. Mufti Sahib touched on this as well, that when the funeral salah is taking place, when the burial is taking place, people are seen around in groups, chitting and chatting.
Actually, you talked about Mizarat of Awliya Allah. Mizarat of Awliya Allah are very special places.
Alhamdulillah.
Mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal is being showered upon their graves and in the surroundings.
Subhanallah.
And that is the place when we go there, we should observe utmost respect. As you said, we should make wuzu. Do not look around this way and that way. Concentrate and try to communicate with that spiritual being. And read Fatiha, send sawab to that Waliullah, and make dua with his wasila, and make sure that you don't do anything which is against Sharia at Mizar Sharif. Because Awliya Allah, they are obedient and loyal to Allah and His Rasul.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
They are loyal to the divine law, which is Sharia.
Subhanallah.
They will not like if you at their mizar, at their door, and you are violating a law of Sharia.
Allah.
They would not like if there is intermingling of sexes at their mizar Sharif. Or if there is Jamaat is taking place, people are reading namaz and person is sitting at the mizar, namaz time comes and goes, he doesn't read namaz. You think you're going to get any faiz from mizar Sharif, from that bazurg? No, never. You have to follow their path. They were punctual namazis. So you need to follow that path.
Subhanallah.
They were punctual with tahajjud. You need to follow that path.
Alhamdulillah.
They followed the sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You need to follow that path. You can't just shout the slogans of the names of pious personalities and nothing of their characters is manifested in your personality. From your personality, nothing is shown of the character of those great people. So if we are truly lovers of Awliya Ikram, so to show that love is to follow their path, and their path is the path of Shariat.
Subhanallah.
It is impossible that any Wali of Allah will establish a path which is contrary to the apparent path of Sharia. Okay. It is impossible. So sometimes people create their own things and they label it that this was done by so-and-so wali or by so-and-so wali. So if it is contrary to Sharia, then we can understand that this was a lie, that somebody made a lie and he made a false accusation against the Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal will never do anything against Sharia. They are true loyal, true slaves of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they establish the Sunnah path of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Musa, the wrongs that take place at the Mazar Sharif, should one rather protect himself and not go there because of these wrongs taking place, like the intermingling?
Look, going to Mazar Sharif's graveyards is recommended by Sharia. So we cannot advise that stop going. Rather, stop the wrong that's taking place, that's happening. Use your influence.
Yes.
Talk to the trustees, the responsible people, mutawallis, or caretakers who have the authority to make changes, and negotiate with them, try to make them understand. Because if they don't stop and they have the power to stop, the sin is coming in their accounts as well. Those who are responsible to run a particular Mazar Sharif, they must learn the laws, how to maintain a Mazar Sharif, how to look after a Mazar Sharif, what are the conditions. They must take a special course so they can be taught and they can understand that this we can do and this we cannot do. This we can allow and this we cannot allow. This is within the fold of Sharia, this is out of Sharia. So we will not tolerate what is out of Sharia. We will only keep what is within the fold of Sharia. Then inshallah azza wa jal, the improvement can come. But we should not stop going, because that's the place of blessing. We should go and get blessings and control ourselves. If we don't have the authority and power to change anything, so make sabr. Go to the Mazar Sharif, make dua, get the blessings and come out as soon as possible.
Alhamdulillah. A few more Madani pearls from the blessed tongue of our Shaykh al-Tariqat, Daman Barakatum al-Aliyah. Amir al-Sunnat, Daman Barakatum al-Aliyah, says that when we enter the graveyard, then enter from the old pathways, because many a times the new pathways are constructed over graves. This is very surprising, because to do so, it is haram to walk upon or tread upon a Muslim's grave.
Yes.
Absolutely prohibited. Even if there is a suspicion regarding the new pathway, we should abandon this. There's a possibility that we will be going over a qabr, a grave of a Muslim. Therefore, we should abandon that path. Furthermore, Amir al-Sunnat has stated that our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said that person who enters the graveyard, then if he recites Suratul Fatiha, Surah Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, and Surah At-Takathur, Al-Hakum At-Takathur, and makes dua, O Allah Azza wa Jal, deliver the thawab of what I have recited from the glorious Quran to the Muslim men and women of this graveyard, and all those believers will become intercessors for that person who donated the thawab on the Day of Judgment.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
It's a wonderful benefit.
Alhamdulillah.
Should always make dua and send the sawab to every marhoom.
Subhanallah.
Imagine you can have so many intercessors.
Alhamdulillah. Furthermore, it is quoted in a blessed hadith that that person who recites Surah Ikhlas 11 times and he donates the thawab and the rewards of this to the deceased, then the one who conveys the thawab will be awarded with thawab, with reward equivalent to the number of the deceased in that graveyard.
Subhanallah.
These are spiritual investments that we must take advantage of. Like we take advantage of good investments in the dunya for our akhirah, the bank balance day, thawab, is a reward. Therefore, we should take advantage of these spiritual investments, inshallah ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. Dearest Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani channel, with the fadl and the blessings of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, and with the mercy of his most beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have made this humble effort to bring beautiful, authentic informations regarding this great night which is coming, the night of salvation, Shab-e-Barat, Laylatu, Nisf-e-Shaban. So please be ready, get ready, and do the maximum ibadat. Spend the night in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend the day in fast. And especially if you are somewhere nearby where you have Faizan-e Madina of Dawat Islam, then go there. Because mostly at Faizan-e Madina throughout the world, you will have wonderful programs, thought-provoking bayans and lectures, beautiful naat recitals, and many, many ibadat that we will be able to do together, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Wish you all the best, and we pray for you that may you have this auspicious night in a blissful and a wonderful way.
Inshallah.
And do the maximum that you can do. And don't forget that keep on watching Madani channel. As Madani channel, alhamdulillah, brings all these beautiful silsilas and programs and educates community. Wherever in the world you are benefiting. So encourage others, your families, your friends, your colleagues, your associates. Tell everyone that only watch Madani channel, because Madani channel is the only TV channel which is 100% Sharia compliant. So inshallah azza wa jal, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq and hidayat.
Ameen.
That we can do maximum ibadat with sincerity, with ikhlas. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us on this beautiful straight path of awliya Allah, salihin, ahlu sunnah wal jama'ah. Ameen, bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salamun alayka ya sayyidi ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa sahabika ya habiballah.
Shadaid nazariya se sahuka ya shadaid nazariya ke kaise
na chhode jo chhutte hai na 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 Shab-e-Barat,